Hey everybody, this is Derek and Luke with the Football Yanks for Premier League Week 36. This week we're going to run through primarily the top of the table fight for the Premier League Championship. We'll talk a little bit about what's left of the relegation battle, and we're going to try as much as possible to ignore the middle of the table where nobody is playing for anything, and they're making that clear with their play on the field. Talk a little bit about the Champions League. My feelings on Harry Kane's face, oddly enough. And then a couple follow-up notes, Yanks in the ranks to wrap things up. Anything else I missed, Luke?
League.
Yep. That you'll hear that throughout.
Yeah, we're American, but we're talking about soccer here. Hosts Derek, Ryan, and Luke are all football fanatics, tracking our fellow Yanks in the EPL and abroad. Enjoy today's episode.
How you doing there, Luke?
Fuck this shit.
It seems like
today sucks.
Things didn't line up well for Ryan taking a week off, and you know your other commitments as part of your lifestyle.
Yeah, well, I guess so. I've made some mistakes. I should have just told Ryan to fuck off and we wouldn't do the damn podcast, but or I should have said I couldn't do it just to see how mad Shannon would be at Ryan while they're on their trip.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
for him to do the podcast.
You probably did the right thing here. How was the Kentucky Derby party other than the hangover that the listeners can clearly pick up on at this point?
It was good. It was a great time, actually. Jack Rose is a fun bar. The rooftop. Oh, no, it's not really a rooftop, but the second floor, like terrace bar, is fucking awesome. So you had a good time, yeah, overall. I have no idea who won. I was thinking about it this morning when I woke up in my hotel room.
I mean, that makes two of us.
I was like, who the fuck even won? I was just screaming. Yeah. I was like screaming we all just kept screaming just the tip the whole time. Like it was a horse name.
Yeah, it could have been. I wouldn't know.
I think there was one that was like just the touch or something like that.
Got it.
So we just screamed just the tip over and over again. It was quite childish.
I don't know. There's complicated rules. So before we get censored for this discussion, yeah, all right. Yeah, I mean, I'd say I'm not actually in. Obviously, I went to the Ghosts and Sideshow last night, so I'm not in tip-top condition. But I think I'm certainly in respectable shape relative to my co-host today.
Don't demean my shape.
Yeah. All right.
Only Tottenham. Way out of there, yeah. Did you watch any football this morning?
Yeah. So yeah, I watched a good bit of the games today and good bit of the games yesterday. It sounds like Ryan had just as much time, given how much Shannon likes to run. But you know, we'll catch up. Obviously, he'll have a lot to say when he comes back. I do think that given Ryan's comments about listenership when you and I hosted last time that he made last week, it tells me two things. One is we need to keep doing what we're doing,
yes.
And two, Ryan's a big fat liar. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I don't know if you have any other thoughts or reactions.
I just assume that was a lie. I'm sure it was the best, most listened to pod we've done yet.
I'm not going to say anything crazy, but yeah, I mean, I'm going to stick to my guns here.
I think that's fucking definite.
In the absence of you running an air conditioner through your microphone this week, we do want to make this as enjoyable as possible for Ryan to edit.
No, we should make it harder. I'm actually only on the podcast to tank the podcast.
So that's interesting. I thought you were only on the podcast to trigger and or create work for Ryan.
Yeah, it's kind
or
of like
it's just you're looking for the intersection of those three things.
It's a long game. Okay, if I can have it. Fun doing it while I'm here, I might as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, so you want to start off with any, you know, grieving or ranting or feelings you need to let loose on Tottenham from this week from either performance?
No, I don't know. They're just fucking bad. Right. That's like where I'm at. It's just like I feel like the season's just has come it needs to come to an end now for Spurs, essentially. I think that it's just the team is over it. They're not putting in the same effort. Obviously, since there's a dynamic going on in the team that's a little, I don't know. The team feels burnt out, essentially.
I didn't do fucking shit.
And then they come into the game and they don't really do anything at all. Really, they were just flat for the whole game. Both games. That they made like a poor Chelsea team look good.
All right. I think it's interesting. There's a lot of teams in similar situations throughout the middle of the table, right?
Yeah.
Again, we saw it even with Villa above Tottenham, right? Like, neither team is like doing anything to secure fifth place.
I feel like third through sixth spot. Yeah, it's like third through six. Yeah. Exactly what you're saying.
Well, everybody's chilling. If I look at this, it's like third through 16th. Like,
yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah.
Outside of the Arsenal and City and Luton, Burnley and Forest. I mean, I look at this and I think there's like five teams playing for anything at this point.
Yeah.
The rest are just trying to set some kind of momentum and, you know, set themselves up for next season. It feels like,
yeah.
You know, to defend Chelsea, you know, I think I've been as down on them as anyone this season, even compared to Ryan, but I have started seeing better team play out of them the last couple games. And certainly the trouncing to with West Ham kind of
that West Ham team was today. Bad. That West Ham team is so bad now.
I was more surprised at how much that team's unraveled versus how Chelsea played. Like,
yeah.
I knew Chelsea, you know, Chelsea we saw, they played well against Spurs earlier in the week, so that part wasn't surprising. But when I think back to the first half of the season with West Ham and some of the run of form they were in, compared to now, it's horrifying. And maybe they never had quite the level of talent to be in the top third of the league anyways, but it's kind of stark. Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, Zuma seems like he's lost
fucking hate Zuma. We have not talked about how shitty of a person Zuma is.
Well, that's
you know why, he fucking kicked a cat and well, videotaped
you just,
it.
I was going to do a soft lead in with a joke about how he's not slapping around his opponents anymore and really taking them to task.
He fucking kicked his cat. Fuck
but,
that dude.
Apparently I can see that that type of satire is going to be frowned upon in this podcast. So yeah, we can just skip straight ahead to Zuma's a piece of shit and his team's getting what they deserve.
He's fucking such a twat. Like, who does that to a cat? And then videotapes it. Like, not even Ryan would do that. And he's fucking psychotic. Like,
now Ryan loves cats. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's the inverse there. Ryan loves cats because he's psychotic. Kurt Zuma is psychotic and herds cat. There's different types, but yeah.
Yeah. I feel comparing Tottenham and Chelsea, I think, is interesting because you see Chelsea, a team that the pressure's off, right? Now they've kind of settled into this position. Not everyone's bashing them over the head for being so bad. So they've kind of settled in and started to play better. Really interesting how well Caicedo is playing without Enzo next to him.
Yeah, Ryan loves talking about that and postulating on the problem that creates. And I guess in a sense, like I was thinking a lot about it today. Like, I don't know what formation works next season where you have our three central midfielders on the field. Saying we have Gallagher, Enzo, and Caicedo on the field together, and then still get Nkunku, who in my opinion needs to be a surefire starter when he's healthy, Palmer, Madueke. I don't know that Nico Jackson's best position is striker. I'd almost rather see him on the left instead of Mudrik. So I don't know, you know, even if you take Mudrik off, that doesn't solve the problem. So yeah, it's a weird dynamic. I would say that like some of the, like, we look much better as a team without Enzo, or Caicedo's better without Enzo is a little bit situational. You know, if I think Enzo and Caicedo can play well together, it's just that when Enzo's out there, he's doing more of the stuff that I think Caicedo's forced into doing now because of Enzo not being there. I think Enzo ends up overshadowing him a little bit because Caicedo was playing well with Enzo on the field, especially defensively and providing coverage.
Both on the field, they kind of like clog it up a little bit. It doesn't feel like there's enough space between them when they're in.
True.
When they're in
attacking
phases. Maybe
that's part of it, right? Is like getting the tactics right when they're out there together. Gallagher and him, you kind of say, have a more natural feel for that. I don't know. Yeah. Or to Ryan would say it's because Potch has no idea how to coach and hasn't given them the tactics to play together. And who knows? Maybe it's that too. But
I really hope that they give Pochettino another year. Like you can see like how the team could turn into something, right?
The team plays improved drastically.
Yeah. And what is another coach going to come in and do differently, realistically? Like what would another coach done differently with a roster of 21-year-olds who are all, you know, hitting a level for the first time, like the Premier League level, all at the same time, essentially? Like who's going to do something better than a semifinal FA Cup and a final League Cup? Like,
yeah, especially with players that are hurt constantly too, right? To your point, like he made do with what he had. And I'd say there are plenty of moments and examples where like, I agree with Ryan, coaching kind of let us down. But given how things are going right now, I would tend to think that he saved his job to the extent possible. Ryan thinks they're predisposed, and I stay less out of the rumor mill than maybe
dude,
I should.
That dude has a fucking phone alert for like... fucking footballlondon.com.
I guess it's good, right? It gives us a sense of what's going on. On the other hand, like I don't feel too badly about choosing not to do that and trying to just kind of assess the situation as I see it. But it's
maybe that's his second career. He's going to be a football journalist. He's going to move to the UK and be a football journalist.
I think he, much like me, needs a full-time job that takes more of his attention. I put it that way. But yeah, maybe in his ideal scenario, I think that's he wants to be, you know, working side by side with Fabrizio Romano or whatever that pizza guy's name is. but you know, I think there's something to be said for getting players like Caicedo, Cucurella, and playing within that team and just having excellent individual performances. Because it, you know, while we can pick apart like those two examples of players playing much better, the team is playing much better, and that's the difference.
Gusto is a player that I think has improved over the season. What I will say for Poch, right? And I think that this is what's kind of the inverse of it is what's worrying about Tottenham is that you can see certain players are getting better.
Yeah.
You can still – Poch is having a impact in individual players like Gusto. I think like Cole Palmer a little bit. Gallagher, I think he's made him a better player.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I think De Sassi and pretty much all of your center backs except Thiago Silva fucking like need a whole lot of more improvement. But – he hasn't gotten the team dynamic right, but I do think he's improved some players as the season has gone on.
Yeah.
Would be my argument for him.
Yeah, I agree with that. What do you, I mean, coming back to Tottenham, I mean, I get the same sense, right? Like they've been downhill the whole last quarter or third of the season, in my opinion. And injuries have played a part in that. You know, what does that look like next season? Do you feel like there's going to be enough healthy players coming back to it with the pieces they have, or are they going to have to make significant changes to challenge for the top three?
I think we need significant changes in the way our squad is built. You know, so today you see Liverpool beat them 4-2, right? But are really 4-0 up.
Yeah.
Like long ahead, right? So watching that game, you could see Emerson Royal is not at the level.
Well, yeah.
Like, he is not good.
I wasn't even going to bring that up because I think everybody that watches Tottenham knows Emerson Royal's not part of it.
Oliver Skip, a central midfielder, came in for him and looked way better at that.
Yeah.
I do question Ange's picking certain players at certain times.
Yeah.
What I think happened this season, kind of to talk about, to go back to what you're saying, like the last really third, it's been pretty awful. You know, the last 10, 12 games has not been great. So that's more of like, yeah, it's about a third of the season, right?
Yeah.
Has not been great. I don't think we ever recovered from that that injury kind of crisis. The team just never got in flow again, essentially, it felt like. If they could just didn't jump back in with the same kind of intensity. So next year I see like players like Emerson Royal getting moved on. I hope to God, if we sign Timo Werner, I might not fucking support them next year. We need another right outside back. So right outside back. We need probably another central midfielder. We need to maybe move Bissouma on. It's just like he doesn't seem like he does what he needs to. I think Bentancur could get moved on. Players that are really much more brought in with the idea of a Conte type system. Maybe not Bissouma, but Bentancur, who I love. I would like us to get rid of Kulusevski. Like I don't really love what he's been doing in the team. So we need both some particular positions on the field improved, but I think to a larger extent, we need a stronger and more structured bench. When we lose a starter, like Destiny Adogie coming off the field, like out of the season, like we should not be in a crisis because we lose one player.
Wow.
Especially with the ambitions we have. I think Europa League next year is going to be really helpful for that. It'll be good kind of staging for a run at Champions League next year, the year after.
I don't think anyone could know how bad Emerson Royal was going to be until they saw him on the field for as many minutes as he's played.
He was at Barcelona.
It's absolutely shocking.
Yeah, he's so bad. Like, I feel for the guy, but he's like, he should just go, like, he should play in Italy or something. Like, where outside backs don't have to go forward in the same way.
Play the 3-5.
Yeah, it's just like, he's really bad at crossing the ball, too. Yeah. Which is weird.
No, I don't know what his skill set's not a fit for many teams.
Yeah. Dude, Salah had him sizzling. Salah was cooking his ass.
Yeah, Salah was the happiest he's been all season. He hasn't been very happy this season.
The past couple weeks.
Yeah, underscore your point. Yeah, I as a Chelsea fan, I take a great deal of positives from looking at Tottenham's roster, as I did at the beginning of the season, probably for the wrong reasons, but like some of the right reasons, right? Like looking at Richarlison and like you said, the lack of coverage at certain key positions, people like Højbjerg out there.
Yeah, Højbjerg needs to move on.
Son then being like this flex piece rather than playing within his optimized position. Some of those things like give me a lot of positives thinking about how do you fix all of that going into the next season.
Well, which is why I'm kind of bullish on this season being positive in general. You know, if you can see the steps we've taken and the players we have purchased, there's been good moves, but it feels very much like a first step in the process and not the final.
Yeah.
And despite that one, like Mickey Van de Ven, right? That one fucking game where he just got tossed like a fucking Greek salad.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, I'm glad that's the example you used instead of something else.
I thought about it. He's a dude. That guy is so fucking good.
Yeah, like, no, I'm not
great player.
Yeah, there's some foundational pieces, and he's one of them.
I think James Maddison, while inconsistent and needs cover, is a good player.
Yeah.
Brendan Johnson, a good addition, maybe not a starting addition though. I'm actually a little bullish on Richarlison. I like Richarlison.
So you hope they bring him back next season?
I actually hope they sell him because he's the most sellable asset at the club right now. If you think in terms of bringing some of the money that we got for him, probably won't make the same. Unless he goes to Saudi Arabia, we won't have the same return. But, you know, that's a player you could sell for 40, 45 million just because number nines are so thin in world football.
Well, with everybody else playing fast and loose with financial fair play, do you guys even need to sell a piece like Richarlison?
So, depending how the rules change, under the structure right now, Spurs are probably one of the best placed clubs in terms of the PSR rules because there's so much other kinds of income coming into the club from things like Beyonce concerts and NFL games. we're in a position where we could buy players, but we'll see. I don't know what the market will be. I think the transfer market's It's so fucked up. Like, it's just not easy to buy anybody.
Yeah, well, you're right. We've got to see what the regulations are and how that affects it. It, you know, could bring prices down. I mean, it tightened things up versus the insanity that's been going on, right? So, yeah, I think that covers us for Chelsea and Tottenham, you know, at least until Ryan gets back. I will say that in Ryan's absence, I will give some credit to Nico Jackson for playing very well over the last two-game stretch. And I've said it before, I do agree that he occupies good spaces. You look at the complexity and the shape and the variation of his runs, it's very effective in that position. He's just not the clinical finisher he needs to be, though he's shown some improvement, I'd say, in the last 2 weeks in that regard, or at least week or so. So we'll see what becomes of that.
Dude scores all the easy ones, man.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Well, yeah, which is, you know, there's something to be said for that, right? When absolutely. You got Darwin going out there for Liverpool.
Yeah. who would you rather, Darwin Nunez or Nico Jackson? Damn.
Within Chelsea's squad, I think Nico Jackson, because I think he offers a little bit more in build up than Darwin, and they're both terrible finishers. So,
agree. All right, should we move on to some Aston Villa loss?
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Villa. You know, the battle, right, has been fourth place between Villa and Tottenham, and they've been bad games to watch. Both teams aren't really fighting for fourth place, but it looks like Villa is going to fall into it.
Yeah, because Villa's going to get points, it.
Right?
Yeah,
Not to take your thunder away, but to me, it's a terrible performance against Brighton in a game that, like, they should have gone out there and won.
Yeah, Brighton looked really good. Like, I thought Brighton, for the first time in a good while, like, looked like they could play again.
Yeah.
Like, they've been pretty awful.
I wasn't ready for that.
I think Aston Villa's tired, man. They've played so many games with being in the Conference League so deep. They've traveled a lot. The team just looks a little tired now.
Yeah.
And they're going to get fourth place. Like, Spurs don't fucking deserve it. I think Villa have been good enough. They'll be good in the – like, I don't know how well they'll do in the Champions League, but yeah, I think they deserve it. I hope they get it, honestly.
Well, yeah, I haven't looked at, you know, it's possible they add some pieces to make them more competitive across multiple competitions. I think they're a team that's ripe for that.
The question being, like, what kind of money do they actually have to spend?
Yeah, can they hold on to Ollie Watkins and still do that, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you think about the players in that team who could be sold Ollie Watkins. I don't think Ollie Watkins would get sold. His contract is probably pretty long. John McGinn, there's some good players. Thielmans, Douglas Luiz is a fucking baller.
Yeah, true.
So, I think they do have pieces, but the thing is can they go out, buy some big players who will make, you know, next level of a difference in the Champions League? I don't know. We'll find out.
Here's my hot take. I'm more concerned about Liverpool and what's going to happen to that roster with Klopp leaving, and I assume Salah being done. He looks like he's ready for the freaking Saudi League, based on his general demeanor and some of the shit he's been doing in the field. And, you know, what happens? You know, granted, they've got great young pieces, right? But, like, do I see that team really advancing very far in the Champions League with, like, Nunez and maybe missing Klopp, Van Dijk, Salah, and a couple other pieces? I don't know.
I don't think Van Dijk's going to go anywhere. I'm pretty sure he has, like, a lot more time on his contract. He's so loved in Liverpool. I don't know. And I don't know if Salah would go to the Saudi League even. That's just the only place with the dollars to buy him. Unless, you know, he wants to live in Saudi Arabia, which is possible. He's Egyptian, right? So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Salah. I think the Liverpool's, like, midfield has been pretty successfully rebuilt, but it still feels a little lightweight, you know? If you look
it's
at, like,
missing
a,
something, right? Like, it's got all this talent, but it doesn't function as well as an Arsenal midfield, right? Or
it's not as big either. It's not as, like, kind of athletic. Like, they're kind of all small little guys in there. Like, Harvey Elliott with a banger today. Endo, McAllister, they're all kind of lightweight. I don't know that one player who will dictate the right solution in there.
Maybe it's swapping, getting somebody to push Endo for playing time, and that kind of fixes things. Fixes that dynamic. But, yeah, they're missing something there for sure.
Yeah, they need, like, a Rodri Firmino type player. Yep. Yeah. Just to make it all tick so McAllister can do a little bit more. But, yeah, we'll see. I hope that they continue to do well. I like this Arnie Slot manager from the Netherlands.
Yeah, do you think that, you know, do you think that's the bigger thing for Salah? Is he's just sick of Klopp at this point?
I don't know. That's a good question. I do think it's hard to work with somebody in such intense pressure, like filled job for so long. Like, if I had to do that job with you for a fucking day, you'd probably rip my fucking head off.
Yeah, you say that not even knowing what my relationship is with my manager. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you're probably on. I think you're right there, right? And then the dynamic of, like, somebody, like, that person being like, I'm out of here after this, and then playing half a season like that adds, you know, I wouldn't be, if I was Salah, I put myself in those shoes, like, I'd be pissed off probably all the time.
Yeah, I still question the timing of when he did that. I think the idea was like, well, we're probably not competitive for a title with, like, what we are, who we are now. But if I come out, it could be like this kind of cool little, you know, last ride for Klopp. They got some energy out of it, but it just, you can't run that for the whole season, you know.
It's too much of a lead out. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, it's too long. Villa, I don't know what the fuck's going on with Villa, though. They really should be getting results. I think you're right. Brighton were good, but not good enough to beat a Villa side.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Liverpool and Villa are both examples of teams that kind of ran out of juice in some sense or another. With that said, yeah, I think that kind of leaves a two-horse race, right, between City and Arsenal. I think my impression is that I'm not really surprised by the recent results. They're both rolling along as I kind of expected to. And I just don't see City slipping up. I think there's too much talent. And on top of that, like, Haaland looks like he's back up for it now.
Yeah, it took him a while.
Yeah, he took a long injury layoff. Took him time to get back in the flow.
Four goals in that game. Is that right?
I didn't see whether all four were his. Yeah,
he had four, and Alvarez had one. Yeah,
okay,
it's pretty badass.
Yeah, all this was made of, like, his lack of contributions of other areas in the game. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's the best striker, pure striker in the world still. When he's in any kind of decent form, and that's a huge advantage City continue to have over Arsenal.
Yeah, I'm kind of cold on Haaland. I don't know. I might have shared that feeling. Like, I just wish he contributed more, I guess. Yeah. Like, he's the best goal scorer probably in the world, but he's certainly not the best footballer.
No, true.
You know?
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that, right? Yeah. I think that, yeah, whether it's Jamie Carragher or whoever these pundits are, like, I think the noise around that is a little bit overplayed, because, like, at the end of the day, like, that position is out there to do one thing, and it's the opposite of why it's kind of the antithesis to Nico Jackson, who does a lot of other things well but can't fucking score sometimes, right? Yeah. Like, you want somebody that's clinical there and can win balls in the box.
I was always a little bit sad that Kane didn't go to City, to be honest. Like, if I wish Kane had gone to City, that would have been a really fucking interesting team. Just because he passes the ball so well, likes to drop in, really good passing range. Like, his passing range and Kevin De Bruyne's passing range in the same team, man. Like, hit diagonals all day.
Yeah, and to that point, you're probably not losing much in terms of overall aerial ability.
Not quite as athletic or fast in transition, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
But yeah, I agree on the whole. That would have been more interesting to see. But Harry Kane. So, you know, just to give everybody an update of the Champions League, right? So Harry Kane and Bayern tie Real Madrid 2-2.
Oh, man.
And PSG gets vastly outplayed by Dortmund. So going into the return leg of the semifinals, it still looks like Kane is very much in the mix for a trophy somehow this season.
I'd be so excited for him if he got a Champions League trophy.
I can't get past the stupid look on his face all the time. It's not his fault. I think every time I look at him, he looks like he should be in the royal family as a result of like years of inbreeding with him.
He
like
looks so British. Bloodline.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like he looks like the reason people in the UK supported Brexit. They're like, oh, we need to protect what this looks like.
Like that guy.
Yeah, we can't have these immigrants ruining our bloodline. We need to rectify the situation so we can keep pumping out Harry Canes.
Yeah, yeah. He's so British looking.
And then sometimes he's got that like drowsy look on his face. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I don't have anything against him as a player. Like I think it's hilarious that like he went to Bayern and like their regular season performance was as bad as it was, and he has a chance of not getting a trophy this season. But we'll see. I think Real's had the better season overall, obviously, so it'd be interesting to see whether Bayern can push out of that.
Yeah, I don't see Bayern beating Real Madrid at the Bernabeu, to be honest.
Yeah,
but they have a chance. It's Bayern Munich, you know. They have big players, except Eric Dier, who's still starting for some reason.
It blows my fucking mind. He's starting these games.
Didn't start for like 6 months. At Spurs, goes to Bayern Munich, starts every game.
I can't. Like, I've got no explanation for what the hell that's all about.
Well, because he's a fucking good footballer, despite him being like a little bit of a, I don't know, a cliche.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, I hope Bayern go through. That'd be cool, but I just don't see them beating Real Madrid. I also don't think that either PSG or Dortmund are good enough to beat.
That's what I said going Munich into this, right? But I also said that PSG was going to trounce Dortmund because I thought Dortmund was too loose defensively throughout the season. Yeah. But they do bring a very fun attacking style. But I mean, they fucking took it to PSG. Like that game probably should have been 2-3 to nothing. And PSG is such a mentally weak team and always has been. I don't see them getting anything out of this. Dortmund look like they're on a mission. Jadon Sancho looks like he wakes up and just has a picture to the right of his bed with Ten Hag on it and just flicks him off every fucking morning.
Yeah. He's actually designed and purchased custom toilet paper. Ten Hag's on his face. And just
who's on your custom toilet paper these days? Is it just a picture of Ryan?
No, I like Ryan more than that. you know, I haven't put my weekly order in yet, so maybe I'll change. I think Costco does that, like toilet paper printing bulk.
I don't know that that's a big enough niche for that. You can call it corporate.
Yeah, we need to figure out if there's actually a toilet paper printing company in the world and invest immediately.
Maybe that could be our first sponsor for the show. What do you make of Sancho's like return to United? I mean, I think I know what's going to happen, but
yeah, I think he'll probably get sold if Erik ten Hag gets his way. I don't know. Like, I think it's really interesting. Like, he's not really a transitional player in the same way that Rashford, Garnacho, Antony, you know, he's not lightning quick, Sancho. He's a really good dribbler and he's creative, but he's not super fast on the transition. So it'll be interesting. Like, I hope that Ten Hag gets fired. I really don't like him at all for some reason. Like,
oh, really? Some reason?
No, I can't quite place it.
What it is?
I don't mind like a Dutch, you know, manager, but he's just like so stern. Like, he's like a high school principal.
There's so many things wrong with him that I actually had forgotten for a while that he was Dutch. Because like normally Dutch is like towards the top of the list. It's towards the bottom of my issues with that dumbass. But I think it's bad for the Premier League because he's a terrible coach. On the other hand, like, screw United and their Antony and Greenwood bullshit. And like, I hope they keep trotting these assholes out there.
Yeah, that's hard to say. I don't know. What do you do with a play like Mason Greenwood at this point, who is killing it in Spain, by the way? Like, he's killing it at Getafe. Like, what do you do with him? You have to pay his contract. They can't void his contract. He wasn't like he was acquitted, right? Or the thing was thrown out. I can't remember exactly what happened to his case.
I don't know, because new ownership talked about like evaluating the situation. I don't know if that means selling him on or terminating or what. But
I assume selling him is the answer, right? You sell him into Spain and it kind of goes away, right? But that team is so shitty. Like, you need good players, and there's a good player who just happened to, you know, be accused of some pretty fucking terrible things.
Yeah, it seems like the Ratcliffe is in that ownership group is more level headed, because prior to them, I would have said they're going to take him back and they're going to see, they're just going to deal with the backlash, and then we'd be talking about it for a whole other season. I think, fortunately for the Premier League, I don't think we're going to have to deal with that, but. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see how Man United changes over the next couple of years, and if it will at all. Did you see some of these, like, this reporting that he sent an email out to, like, the staff and to, like, the company at who run the people who run the training facilities? He, like, sent them, like, this, like, email saying, this place is a piece of shit. Like, it's dirty. It's not clean. Like, everything's falling fucking apart. It's like, yeah, it's kind of like the club.
Who sent the email?
Jim Ratcliffe, the Ineos or whatever it is.
Yeah,
owner.
I did not see that.
I could use an email from him to get myself motivated personally, but
so I'm not quite sure what that would look like. Your toilet paper idea sounds great. Love to invest something like that. Yeah.
Oh man. I'm going to reach out personally.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Do that, and then we can talk about that on the show. Yeah, I mean, so I guess coming back to Arsenal and City, right? What do you think is going to play out there? You see anything changing?
Oh, I see City winning the title for sure. What are they, 4 points ahead? Or what is the points on the table now?
They have a game in hand.
The game in hand is against Spurs.
Point as of the moment. Yeah.
Okay. So basically, they have to tie. If they tied, I'm sure Arsenal's goal difference is better than theirs, because they haven't really scored a million goals like they did today.
Yeah, they're at six in goal differential. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I think City will do it. I think City will beat Spurs on the last day. Tottenham are just so bad, like I said before. Yeah.
Is that the last game against Spurs?
I think that's the last game of the season for both teams, yeah. That was a very satisfying keyboard type, by the way. You can do that anytime.
I have this in my mind because I'm not going to be able to join the show for the last match day because I will be in Germany or landing in Germany. So I'm going to have to find some place to watch this, but
I'm sure you can walk into any place.
Yeah. I already found a place. I'll be in Germany. Frankfurt, yeah, already Fox and the Hound, yeah, I think that's where I'm gonna go. But yeah, British pub style. Something.
You got an Excel sheet for all the places you're going?
It's a Google Drive doc. There's two places in there. There's the whiskey store that you'll appreciate, and there's the pub that I'm gonna watch the last day of the Premier League.
That's awesome.
So City plays West Ham. Oh, you're okay. Match day 30. Okay, so there's some remake games on the 15th. So time.
Yeah, that's. Plays. That's why Tottenham's currently like getting fucked in the buck with all these fucking fixtures, because Chelsea and City got moved to the end of the season, and now for the rest of the time we're doing they're just all midweek games. Excuse me.
Yes, I mean Arsenal. The last potentially it's going to come down the last day. Arsenal's going to beat the crap out of Everton. City probably will hammer West Ham. That's what I think is going to happen, but I'll be watching regardless.
Yeah.
Relegation-wise, Luton versus Everton to me was kind of like a must-win for Luton if they were going to make moves. And, you know, I wouldn't say it's a lack of conviction. I just don't think they've been good enough the second half of the season in particular. To advance themselves out of that last relegation slot. And on top of that, Forest is showing like a little bit of resolve.
Yeah, Forest is a better team, right? Yeah, Forrest
from a talent standpoint, yeah, yeah. I mean, we talked. Yeah, I mean, I was bullish on all the moves they made. I think they might be the most disjointed roster construction in the entire Premier League. But yeah, Hudson Odoi has been a good buy. Scored another banger. He scored two bangers in that game, right? Off the same move where he's been doing all season, where he cuts it and the defenders act like they've never seen it before.
Yeah. Oh, he's not right footed or whatever he is. Yeah.
Right. Can't believe that one in again.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's unfortunate in a sense because I was really hoping Forrest wouldn't stay up because of how screwed up that team is. But all right, we're back after a little internet hiccup there to resume the recording to make sure we don't lose anything here. I see the timestamp moving, so I think we're good, Luke.
Beautiful.
This might be why Ryan doesn't trust us in general and specifically, but.
That's kind of understandable, to be honest with you.
Usually my internet's been pretty reliable. It's one of those things that happens from time to time, so we'll have to see. But, relegation battle, any other comments there?
It's kind of sad. Like, the season that really feels like it's coming to this, like, kind of...
Yeah. Normally it's more excitement around at least, like, the last relegation. And it could change, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, to me, it's not exciting at the top or the bottom. So, but plenty of fixtures left to change that.
Yep.
Yanks in the ranks, taking it kind of a pivot here. Wanted to talk about a couple players. I didn't realize that Haji Wright actually has 16 goals in the championship campaign for Coventry City this season.
Good and shit.
Finished with 7 assists too. You know, we talked about him in some of the recent USA matches, but yeah, you know, he had a really good season overall, played almost 3,000 minutes. So good to see that there in terms of some coverage for the national team. And, you know, but I think it was an interesting comparison to look at. Balo had 7 goals and 4 assists, about half as many minutes in League One for Monaco. So not a terrible season, but definitely a down one for him, given kind of how much promise he showed last season. The fact that, you know, probably from a talent standpoint, you still want him to be the first choice striker for the U.S., right?
Yeah, not that Greg Berhalter makes any, like, kind of sound decisions, but...
Well, that's a good point. And actually, I should have looked at this, but Sargent had a good campaign as well. Yeah. So in the championship, he had 16 goals as well, 2 assists in significantly less minutes, only 1,900 minutes. So it seems like, you know, they're still relatively young, all three of them, but in decent form, in varying degrees, playing in Europe. So we'll see. That's kind of been a position that continues to be up in the air, but at least some promising performances there.
Yeah, the thing about it is Balogun's the only one that has the potential, I feel like, to, like, really climb in terms of stature in the game. Like Haji Wright, good player. Is he going to, like, move us to a, you know, Premier League team in the top half? Probably not. Could Balogun? He probably could at some point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Haji Wright could make the jump to the Premier League, but you're right. There's only certain teams where that would be a fit, whereas Balo probably has the higher ceiling regardless.
And realistically, I'd say in the kind of comparisons in the stats, League One in France, Ligue 1. You want me to say that again? Ligue 1.
Ryan also doesn't like it when I call, like, he refuses to refer to it as League One either. Yeah.
Ligue 1.
Yeah.
Okay. Nah, I'm gonna stop. I don't like it anymore.
I can't wait to get that into an audio clip for next season's podcast.
Oh man, I think League One's probably more competitive harder score goals, better players than championship, particularly throughout the league. Well, no, maybe not. It's really just the top half in France. But you see, they came, you know, second place with Monaco behind PSG, traditional how it goes. So, yeah, I hope Balogun kind of keeps moving forward in his career. I do worry that it'll stall out in France a little bit. But yeah. Yeah, some talent in the number 9 position for the U.S. Did you hear Sergino Dest tore his ACL?
Yeah, I follow him on social media, so I've seen him. He's been pretty big on like the social media campaign since he had his surgery. So he posts a lot of stuff. It seems like he's out and about, which is good. But obviously, I can relate. That's a long road back.
Nice to have all of the medical teams you could possibly have, but yeah. It'll be about, what, 9, 10 months probably?
Yeah. So he'll miss the Copa over the summer, which is really, really disappointing. But, you know, a player doesn't make a team, right? So still a good opportunity for probably Scally would be next, right, on the right.
Probably
to Scally. To kind of step in there. We talked about him. Probably in several of the tournaments, or at least when Dest was suspended, played really well. So
a little more defensive, a little more defensive than Dest.
Yeah.
But it could allow Anthony Robinson to go forward a little bit more.
True. So. Yep. Yeah. Which he loves doing, has been very effective at to your point, the national team. And Berhalter's probably too dumb to do that unless he's forced into doing it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not the worst thing. I didn't look at whether Gio had played any minutes in this last fixture for Forest over Sheffield. Did he even? So he did not make it into the game.
We were talking about cats, right? There's a cat.
keep that away from Kurt Zuma. Gio was in the.
Sorry, I lost you for a second. I think it was my internet that went out.
I don't know what that time it could have been either of us.
Yeah, it was me for sure.
But yeah, disappointing season for Gio across two teams. Doesn't even get any minutes in this thumping of Sheffield. It looked like he was about to break in there and then didn't. I guess Yates and Danilo are out playing him. I don't know.
But. I just think I don't think he's the right player for Nuno Espirito Santo. I don't really know why they. I think that Nottingham Forest just likes to have players. It's like they just want a lot of them, I guess. It felt very much like that. Yeah, he could have gone to so many other places and fit in a little better. Do think he needs to gain some weight. The dude needs to put some muscle on to like stand up in that kind of an environment for 90 minutes.
I hadn't thought about that because I thought he was so light, just taller than a normal winger. I don't know. I have to look at it.
Well, and I think then the question for Gio is he a winger or is he a central player? And they like nobody knows yet. I feel like.
Well, yeah, and I think you're going there, right? Like what are some teams or some like system fits? I mean, I guess the obvious one you point to, right, is as somewhere where you can play as a true cam, right? Which not a lot of teams really play with that position. Yeah.
And he's not really a number 8 either, so he doesn't like get up and down the pitch like a number 8 would. And then he's not really that great of a dribbler, and he's not that fast. Like, he's a good dribbler, actually. I should give him more credit. But he's not that fast to be on the wing. Like, who are you going to take out of that team? Pulisic or Timothy Weah? Like, I rate Timothy Weah. I think he's a fucking good player. So
I would agree with you. From the day Weah showed up, I thought he would be a long-term solution out on that right wing, and he's proven me correct there.
Yeah,
and
he's good. Is
immovable. Within the system we're playing, that kind of cements the front three with then a striker up there, right?
Yeah. Any word on Tyler Adams? Is he playing again for Bournemouth?
I don't think so, and I forget exactly what happened because he came back and they tweaked something, right?
Yeah, it's like a hand. He just got another injury.
But yeah, another really disappointing season for Tyler Adams. Mm-hmm. In the Arsenal game, let's see.
Yeah, he didn't play.
Yeah, he wasn't on, wasn't on the bench, so I think he's probably out again. I think Bournemouth might still be a good fit for him when he's healthy next season. So that'll be an interesting one. I think he needs to get healthy, not necessarily needs a change of scenery, whereas Reyna has been healthy and just needs to find freaking playing time in a system that works for him, semi-works.
Yeah.
And I don't, there's no obvious answers in my mind for a team like that, other than maybe somebody else in the bottom half of the Premier League, but it can't be Forrest.
No. Jeez, my cat is just yelling at me right now. Can't wait for Ryan to hear that on the recording. He's gonna be like, "What the fuck is that cat meowing for?"
Yeah. Well, at least it's easier to isolate the cat meowing than some of the other background noises that we hear intermittently, or having to deal with us splicing the episode into three segments. That helps too. All right. Well, I don't know that were any other games that stood out to you. I mean, I watched most of these like mid table games this week. None of them. I don't know if I have anything to say about any of them, to be honest.
Yep, it's like it's kind of like my hangover. It needs to end this season.
Self awareness is the first step to something. I don't know.
You're gonna come to AA meetings with me? Yeah. I wonder how many comments we're gonna get. Hey, Luke, do you need help? Yes, I do.
No more than the rest of us.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's it for that this week. Unless you got anything else, Luke.
I have nothing more to add. I have anything left at all, actually.
All right. Well, with that said, make sure everybody likes and subscribes. We appreciate it. Until next week, take care, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Football Yanks podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss a future episode. We'll see you next time.